AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of European action. Celtic are already underway against Europa League leaders Midtjylland. 16 gone. It is Midtjylland 0, Celtic 0, as Celtic pass up a good chance. Elsewhere, Rangers welcome Roma as they look to move off the foot of the Europa League table. And after a tough time in the last round of fixtures, can Aberdeen muster something in a tough away trip this evening? I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have got Dylan McGeoch and Gordon Dl.
Yeah, after an exciting weekend, it's all eyes focused in Europe tonight, Gordon. Obviously, Aberdeen Rangers later on, Celtic up and running over in Denmark, a very end-to-end game, very open. Celtic, I think, settled in okay, but they're doing a bit of defending. Just need to be careful. Can't afford to give away any goals, especially early on. Problem for Celtic is the back post.
And they are, I was going to say, 1-0 down, I assumed.
Great block from, I think it's Ralston.
Ralston's got a sore one in the face.
Brilliant defending. He's put himself in the line there, Gordon. I was just going to say, a bit disappointing for Celtic. After 12 minutes, Kills picks up a yellow. He's now walking a tightrope, but what a piece of defending by Anthony Ralston.
Yeah, as Gordon said, it's a big night in Scottish football. Obviously, Celtic looking to carry on that feel-good factor under Martin O'Neill, and Aberdeen and Rangers definitely need to bounce back after the last few games in Europe. So, yeah, exciting night.
Let's do it. 0141-951-1025. UEFA just don't listen. They keep scheduling these early kickoffs, which don't really suit us. I mean, the Rangers game is going to clash with the Celebrity Traitors final as well for you. So you'll be.
I thought about that.
You'll need to have a couple of screens on the go. But anyway, for now, it's all about Scottish clubs in Europe. So give us a call. 0141-951-1025. It's a bit of a sort of watch along goggle box type hybrid for you Celtic fans, because the game's on at the moment. So watch it with us if you like. Give us a call. And then certainly at half time and full time, we want your immediate reaction. So take the number down and give us a call. As for you Rangers fans, a traditional build up if you like. You know the way it works on these big match nights. We love to hear from those of you who are on your way to the game in particular, but of course if you're planning on sitting down on the couch and watching it, those calls are every bit as important. So let's hear from you. What are you expecting tonight? Bottom of the Europa League, 10 points can be enough to get you through. You've got zero so far, four games to go, so clearly a point is a kind of minimum requirement tonight. You'll be looking to start winning some games. Can you do it against Roma? How do you feel about these games now? Because it's been a bit of up and down, hasn't it? The Brann game under Danny Rowe was so bad, but it was early days, and then you recovered a bit and you won a couple of league games, and then some of it went out the window against Celtic at the weekend, but you performed well in the second half and you've got your sense of injustice, as we've been hearing on the phones over the last few nights. So where are you tonight? Do you have any optimism that you can beat Roma, or might this be a stretch too far for this team under Danny Rule at the moment? Give us a call right now, please. 0141-951-1025. Would you change the team as well? You've maybe got about 40 minutes to pick your team, Rangers fans. Do you stick with the back three, or do you acknowledge it didn't work in the first half on Sunday and do something different? Giga got a lot of criticism. Does he stay in? I think the big question, probably up front, does Chermiti stay in? Miss some chances? Would you mix it up there? Mikey Moore maybe come in? Give us all your thoughts right now, please, on the usual number. 20 minutes in, Michelin 0, Celtic nil. Let's quickly recap what's happened there, Gordon. So Martin O'Neill making a couple of changes, from the weekend. Kieran Tierney coming in at left back for Marcelo Cerracci, and further up the pitch, James Forrest coming in for Daizen Maeda, who had just coming back from injury, clearly having his minutes managed. What do you make of that team, and how would you sum up how they've settled in the first 20 minutes?
Yeah, I think they've done a lot of defending, I've got to be honest. You're playing against a team that's sitting proudly top of this league so far, 9 points out of nine. They're a decent side on their own home patch. I know Hibs ran them very, very closely, but this is different tonight. But Celtic defending very well indeed. You've seen that there with the desire of Ralston. They're a threat going forward as well. I think it's a very open game. This game ain't staying without goals. Let me tell you now, there's too many attacking things going on up and down the pitch here, so there'll be goals in this game.
Yeah, Dylan, Celtic haven't created loads. There was a cutback to Benjamin Negrin that he probably should have done better with, and he ended up blazing it over the bar. They've had a couple of moments where they've got up the pitch, but that would be the sort of best chance they've had. And by contrast, Mitchelland have had a couple. However, here's Tonetke to the byline. He just, I think it goes out for a corner, to be fair. Takes a nick. So look, Celtic are doing fine, but they're probably being shaded by the home team, aren't they?
Yeah, I would say so. The home side look the better side so far. But Celtic had their chances, as you said. The chance at the edge of the box should do better, hit the target. But yeah, they've had to defend for the majority of the game, which you'd expect away from home in Europe. But Schmeichel's come up with a few good saves. And they look like they want to counter-attack Celtic. Every time Schmeichel manages to catch a ball, they look to counter quick. So that might be in the game plan, to kind of sit and defend and hit them on the counter.
Right, going to stick with this corner to Celtic, then we'll set the scene at Ibrox as we build up to kick-off there. It's a good delivery from Arne Ingles. Kieran Tierney underneath it. James Forrest with a winger's still header. But it's still alive. And unfortunately, when it's Tierney on the right foot, it really is. Celtic really keeping it here in and around the box. Easy for me to say. And it's going to be another corner. Right, I'll tell you what, let's just go to Ibrox just now. Tom Grant is there to set the scene for us.
Thanks, Gordon. Yes, 4 days on from that incident-packed Old Firm semi-final defeat at Hampden, Rangers need to dust themselves down as they welcome Italian giants Roma here at Ibrox in the Europa League. The European campaign for the Gers this season has been nothing short of disastrous. As you say, Gordon, they sit bottom of the Europa League, 36th out of 36, looking up at all those above them with 3 defeats from 3, 6 goals conceded and only 1 goal scored against Sturm Graz. And manager Danny Rühl, taking charge of just his 5th game, knows he needs to get something from tonight match if he has to have any chance of rescuing any hope of progression. I know, Gordon, you asked him yesterday if this was a must win or not. He didn't go as far to say it was, but he did go on to speak about his players being brave tonight, admitting he believes he knows what his players have to do to hurt Roma, and about being aggressive. On to the visitors, and it's tough to really assess where they are at the moment. They've been blowing a bit hot and cold this season. They sit 4th on goal difference in Serie A, just 1 point behind leaders Napoli, but in terms of the Europa League, it's a 1 win and 2 defeats, including that home loss to Victoria Pilsen last time out. Of course, a Russell Martin Rangers side beat the Czechs over 2 legs in a Champions League qualifier earlier this season. Roma manager Gianpiero Gasperini knows the competition well, having won it with Atalanta in 2024. He spoke of readying his players for a hot, fiery Ibrox atmosphere tonight. In terms of player, their star man is Paulo Dybala, but he's out after having a late penalty saved in their 1-0 defeat to Milan last time out. He injured himself while taking that spot kick, and his place will likely go to Italy international Lorenzo Pellegrini. Other names listeners might recognise is Republic of Ireland striker Evan Ferguson, who's also out injured, but we should see Ukrainian striker Artem Dovbik and Aston Villa loanee Leon Bailey. For Rangers, well, I've covered 2 of Rühl's 4 games in charge, and I've made the mistake last week at Easter Road of having a go at predicting his starting 11, only for him to then completely mix it up and drop James Tavernier, who incidentally played 120 minutes at Hampden on Sunday. But, and with the fear of making the same mistake again, I suppose the main questions are, will he stick with the back three? Will it be Raskin and Diamandi in the centre of midfield? And who will lead the line? Of course, Yusuf Chermiti again coming under fire from fans this week. Danilo was taken off at half-time against Celtic, and Bojan Miovski failing to impress in his last few games. On the flanks, and I know I've just said I wouldn't do it, but I've got a sneaky suspicion Max Aarons could come back in, but I'll clear it all up and answer those questions in around 35 minutes time.
And you too can predict or get your wish list in if you like Rangers fans. Andy is from Newcastle. I suspect somewhere between Newcastle and Govan, though, Andy, would that be fair?
Yes, I am not too far past Lockerbie, kind of that way, so speed along towards Ibrox.
Dylan McGeoch's come back down to Carlisle tonight. Give him a lift. Swing by and give him a lift after the show.
No, I remember who Dylan played for.
Exactly. You hold a grudge. What are you thinking tonight then?
I'm thinking we're going to get scudded by a weakened Roma side, because that's what this team's given us, and that's nothing against the new head coach. I quite like Danny Roll. However, we've got another team we're going to have to completely revamp. I'm hearing rumours that Chimiti might be going out on loan to Braga in January. If we could get any kind of deal to get rid of him now, I will drive Chimiti to Portugal myself. The boy doesn't look a competent footballer at all, and I think the stats aren't there to back up anything like an £8 million fee. Big problem for me, and again, with the game at the weekend, we're not creating anything. So that's Chimiti, the way he played is one problem, but for Miosky and Danilo, they're really feeding on scraps, if anything at all, and that's a big, big problem for me, that we're scoring penalties or a wonder goal or a deflection. There's nothing. It's like a really decent goal. And for me, Gordon, I said to the boy when I phoned up that I think we've had maybe 6 or 7 years since the Gerrard days of building a really good reputation in Europe. I think that kind of phase of our history is kind of done, and we need to get back to concentrating on domestic football. And of course, I look forward to another episode of Willie Collum apologises to Rangers a couple of weeks for yourself. So
That's assuming he thinks it was a mistake, Andy. He might need to wait and find out.
I wouldn't be shocked, Gordon, put it that way, but I know being a neutral yourself, you'll put the questions to him.
You never know. Stephen McLean and Stephen McLean and Nick Walsh obviously didn't. Anyway, it feels even more ridiculous to keep going over that right now when we've got two big games on. I think Andy hits on an interesting point, Gordon, about sort of Rangers in years gone by, they did build up a reputation where, within reason, there was no real Europa League opponent that you would properly fear. Because if you look, you know, over the years, that could, like Porto's and Benfica's and Dortmund's and Leipzig, there was never really a level of a Europa League opponent that you would fear. Does it feel like those days are gone?
Yeah, right now? Yeah, 100%. European football is very funny. The Rangers could go out tonight and get a result. I'd be surprised. I sort of agree with Andy and disagree in two things. He said that a bit concerned about Rangers. I thought Rangers did create chances at the weekend. I thought Chimiti gave up a really couple of good efforts, back post, and then the one right through with Schmeichel, he should really score. You look at Raskin as well. They'd one or two others when they were down to 10 men. They've just not got a goal scorer. They've not got an out-and-out clinical goal scorer, and I think that's a massive problem. I think everybody would be delighted if that news was true, that Chimiti was probably going out on loan, because...
Just on that, I would never dream of doubting Andy's sources. It feels like Rangers could not admit that mistake right now.
Yeah, I was doing the rumour mill, though, on Twitter and stuff, but I've seen a few, but...
Do you see what I mean? Like, how does Kevin Thelwell...
come back for that?
Because I get the point. Look, if he fails and they end up, it's on Kevin Thelwell anyway, but... how can you give him that big show of faith, spend that money, say publicly what you think he's got, and then the very next window
do you think that's better than just kind of sticking with it, though? Would you know rather I'm going, do you know what, we've made a mistake,
get a bit of the money back
and we'll spend some money, and then the fans will maybe go, well, we didn't agree with it in the first place, but at least he's wise enough to rectify it.
I'm assuming that, not like rightly or wrongly, I'm assuming that they still think he will come good.
Well, no, I don't know if they're thinking.
I'm not saying. I think their fingers
are crossed. But Gordon, it'll be interesting. Will he play tonight? Right. I'll be very surprised if he does. I agree with Andy in the second point where he said, I think Europe's obviously, they're sitting bottom with no points. You play Roma tonight, a big ask. Going forward, I think it is a sort of a situation where the manager needs to concentrate in domestic football. He's 14 points behind Hearts in the league, has to start climbing that table. So just now, I don't think they're going to do anything this year in Europe. So it's all about concentrating what's in front of you domestically for me.
But at the same time, Andy, if Rangers have already given themselves too much of a mountain to climb in the Europa League, you don't want to kind of go out and have it like over at the first kind of whimper, do you? Do you want to try and at least prolong it, get a couple of good wins, a couple of good performances, and try and build something? It's all right saying I just concentrate domestically, but that surely like losing every Europa League game then becomes counterproductive, does it not?
Well,
I mean, the money's the money, but Gordon, we've done it. For me personally, I've had the Leipzig semi-final and, you know, the heartache of the final with the penalty shootout. We've had a quarter-final run last year that I think was a bit of an outlier. But we need to get back to winning domestic trophies. I mean, Celtic are on, what, 30-odd, how many of the last 40-odd trophies? This is a poor, I'm sorry, but a poorer Celtic side than it's been for many years now. This season, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of fans on the other side of the city laughing, if Rangers had won the league this year, we got into the Champions League automatically, as long as a top five side won the Champions League this year. So there was a guaranteed £40 million if we had won the league. That should have been something to go after. Mm-hmm. Not now we're chasing second place. And look, Hearts, at the minute, I hope Hearts win the title because they deserve it, right? If it's not going to be us. However, Hearts will falter. They will lose some games. How they react to that will be yet to be seen. Celtic will probably do what Celtic do and recover and go on a good run, potentially, depending on who ends up taking the job. I know a lot of people are kind of knocking it back the same way they did with Rangers. Maybe they go away on O'Neill. But for me, we really need to concentrate on winning domestic doubles and cups again and getting to finals on a regular basis. I shouldn't be able to name our last couple of trophies, goal scorers, the times of the goals, because they've been so few and far between. And again, just on that point Gordon mentioned about us creating chances against Celtic, we had about four shots right at Kasper Schmeichel, who is getting more and more immobile as the months go by. That was on us, but again, that's an outlier. We don't create chances like that on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. I do get the gist of Andy's point, like if you had to choose, but I suppose what I'm trying to say is I don't think Rangers didn't win the league or don't win leagues because they don't focus on them. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, it's not automatic. Like Danny Rowe sits tonight and goes, tell you what we'll do, lads, we'll sack off the Europa League, and that allows you, do you know what I mean, that allows you to go. What's to say that really trying to string together some results in this competition then gives you
the confidence,
and not only that, it actually allows you to develop as a team, and then you take that in. I've never quite got how you can completely separate the two.
Yeah, it's hard to just concentrate on one. Like, I think sometimes if you're having a poor, what a save.
Yeah, Kasper Schmeichel, mobile enough for Andy, and that one makes a good save. Sorry, on you go, Dylan.
Yeah, but if you're trying to concentrate in the league and obviously climb up that table, sometimes a big result like tonight, get the fans back on side, 50,000 going away feeling great, go to Dundee at the weekend, get a result. That's what it can take sometimes, just to kind of turn your season round and get a big result.
I don't think MD's saying, look, let's sack off the Europa League and we can lose games and we're no bother. Where I'm saying is, like Andy,
so
I think,
do you mean like rest players tonight as an example?
Well, if you look at, I think they'll fancy their sale against Dundee at the weekend. Let's be honest about that. Although, well, you never know the result Dundee's got to show up.
They also came to Ibrox and did,
yeah,
okay.
100%. But if you're playing...
And there it is. Oh yeah. There's the Midtjylland opener. We suspected it had been coming. Celtic have been doing not too bad. It's a fairly even game, but you have to say the host did look the more likely. And there's a ball stood up into the box and headed beyond Kasper Schmeichel. 33 gone. Midtjylland, who are top of the Europa League, 1 Celtic 0. Callum McGregor wants a check of some description. Sorry, Gordon, as you were saying.
Yeah, I just feel that on a Thursday, you want to win a few games, of course, get a few points. It's all about money. But if you're looking at Sunday, for instance, and you've got a real difficult game, I think you've got to take that into consideration. I said earlier, this game would never be 0-0.
I've got no idea what Callum McGregor's...
I think it's on Tierney, maybe.
...claiming for. The ball stood up.
There's absolutely nothing in
it. Trust it.
That's
not a fill. Anyway, I've interrupted you about four times.
No, you're fine. I just think that there'll come a stage that, yes, you want to get a couple of points on the board, you want to get some money in, of course you do. You want to keep that confidence, try to keep that going. But I think now's the situation where if you're looking at Sunday and you're thinking, oh, do I risk one or two players on the Thursday night? Mm-hmm. I think you decide not to now. You concentrate on the Sunday more.
Yeah, that goal stands. That was never in doubt. Andy, I feel like it's quite hard to get a gauge on Roma because it's hard to argue with a team that's 1 point off the top of Serie A, but at the same time, that's not translating to Europe. And you've seen Victoria Pilsen. I think even though Rangers were decent on the night, you would admit they're not great, and yet they went and beat Roma. So I don't know, how tough do you think they'll be?
I think they're very tough.
Oh, it's unravelling. Sorry, Andy. 2-0 Midtjylland. This is really unravelling very quickly. Celtic were fine for half an hour and now facing a really ropey night, which I'm sure won't upset you, Andy, too much. But sorry, on you go.
Yeah, devastated. I just have to say, my dad listens to you in Australia religiously, so he's a big Celtic fan, so just hello to him when he listens on that.
Brilliant.
But yeah, for me, I think they'll have too much for us. I've not seen enough from us that our side won't shrink. And see, on that, to just to wrap up my point isn't we chuck the Europa League, but my point is we have to build a team for domestic football. I don't know what we're building a team for. And prime example, I would sign Alex Gogic for the Rangers team. Alex Gogic will not be good enough for European football, but you know what? He'll clear balls in the Scottish League, and that's what I feel we should be looking to do. Build for Scotland, and then Europe's a bonus, as opposed to trying to do both and getting neither accomplished.
Yeah, what do you think, Gordon, about the kind of balance between Roma being pretty good in their league, not so good Europa? What do you lean more into in terms of the threat they'll carry tonight?
I think they've obviously got decent players and they will be very well organised. You don't be sitting second in Serie A if you've not got a bit of quality about you. But look, we've seen it a million times. It'll be interesting, first and foremost. I'm desperate to see the team. I'm desperate to see the tactics, I've got to say. Will he stick with the three? Will he stick with Chermite? What does he do? Giga, I think, was absolutely woeful. Although he kept him on, and when he went to the four, he did okay at times, but I didn't feel a lot of confidence in him, like a lot of Rangers supporters. His team selection, and he's got a player there, Kasama, who was probably their best player early on in the season. And a 3-5-2, doesn't he really get him into the system?
Yeah. Thank you to Andy Dillon. It's turned very quickly into a very difficult night for Celtic. We were quite enjoying the open nature. They find themselves 2-0 down. How good a goal is this one by Mitchelland, and how poor is the defending?
I say it's a bit of both. I think the boy's positive. He comes inside on his good foot and he just puts it past Michael. I think he goes with the outside arm. But yeah, I think Ralston would be disappointed to kind of let him come in on his good foot, and once he gets into the box it was.
But do you not think Ingles should do better as well? The two of them,
because there's two on one, isn't it?
He glides through the two of them like they're not even there. It was poor stuff.
Very tough to see Celtic getting anything from here, but we'll update you when we return. And Rangers fans, if you're on your way to the game or planning to watch it, let's hear from you. Celtic fans, as soon as that halftime whistle goes, give us your analysis, please.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Dylan McGeoch and Gordon Dalziel are here, Celtic fans. The halftime whistle is about 3 minutes away, and I really want to know what you've made of this. It is Mitchelland 3, Celtic 0, and Celtic are cruising to an absolute doing here, or stuttering to a doing, I should say. Kasper Schmeichel felt this one should have been ruled out. He felt there was a player in an offside position standing in his line of vision. You tend to agree, Dylan?
I did think so at the start. When he hits the ball, he's in the line of his sight, but obviously the ball goes in the far corner and they did give it.
Why am I not surprised with that?
You're not having it?
No.
Well,
no.
I think
Schmeichel just was praying, because this could end up embarrassing tonight. They are absolutely destroying Celtic.
Yeah, this has unravelled at quite a rate. Don't get me wrong, Mitchelland were always the better team. They always looked the more likely, but half an hour it was evenish, right? The home side were shading it, but Celtic would have been comfortable enough in it. But my goodness, this is an absolute hammering now. 3-0 and not at half time yet. So Celtic fans, as soon as that whistle goes, really want to hear your thoughts. And of course, Rangers fans, you've still got an hour and a half until kickoff. Are you on your way? Are you there already? Are you preparing for a night on the couch? What are you expecting? This Roma team are not great so far in Europe, but they've got a pretty good record domestically. Got some pretty talented players. You're obviously in a bit of a transitional period under the new head coach. So what are your chances tonight? We know the long throw is back in fashion. Mitchelland are using it very well. And that's the last thing you need when you're 3-0 down, that the ball was getting lasered into your box from 40 yards away.
I couldn't kick the ball that far. I'm thinking myself, where's the guy and what's he doing? All of a sudden he throws it about 50 yards.
That's outrageous.
I'd injure myself, I think, doing that.
Yeah. The stats are now very damning for Celtic. It's 14 attempts on goal by Mitchelland, just two for Celtic. And clearly that has been reflected in the scoreboard as well. 3-0. And you wonder how Celtic fix this, Gordon, because it's not like they've been putting loads into an attacking performance that suddenly left them open. They're just kind of miles off it, all over the place, really.
Yeah, they're second to every ball. You've got to give credit to the home team. They've been excellent, Gordon. Sometimes you're playing against a team that maybe on the night's too good for you, and that for the first 40 odd minutes, that's exactly what's happened here. Celtic have chased shadows. What's going to happen second half? I'll be the old cliche, try and either draw or win the second half and keep the score down, respectable.
Yeah, Dylan, they do look like a team that's top of the Europa League. They look like a team that's gone to Nottingham Forest and won. I always find it hard though, because maybe it's just the kind of old stereotypes kicking in. It still feels like they're still Mitchelland. We're not talking a European superpower, whether they're top of the league or not. Look, they're good, but I still feel like Celtic should have higher hopes than maybe being worse than 3-0 down at half time, as Mitchelland come into the box again and it is just saved this time. This is a worrying performance as well.
Yeah, obviously, I think, as you said, like this time last year, Celtic were a couple of minutes away from getting a result with Bayern Munich, and then now Mitchelland, no disrespect to them, they've done well this year, but it's not one of the giants in European football, and to be fair, tonight, they do look like one.
Aberdeen 0-0 at half-time, though. Fair play to them, because they got an absolute doing in the previous game, and again, a lot of Cypriot opposition, which you don't think necessarily carries a brilliant footballing pedigree. It's actually a team that's had some brilliant European results this season, so well done to Aberdeen so far. Callum McGregor, he's just taken a kick, I think, Dylan, on the kind of back of his calf, hasn't he?
Yeah, I thought he'd rolled his ankle or something, trying to block the shot, but it looks like he just got studs on the ankle, but he'll be fine.
Right, we're just a minute away from hearing from Gabriel, who's over there in Denmark. So as soon as we do that, Celtic fans, give us your halftime report, because this cannot be fun. You must be really fearing the worst at this moment in time. Kieran Tierney gives the ball away, but there is a reprieve for Celtic, an offence that I couldn't quite spot, but it's a free kick to Celtic in their own half. It's all worrying for Celtic. They've created nothing really. Negrin probably should have done better. A ball cut back to him in the box, he blazed over, but other than that, very little. And Mitchelland scoring three, and it could have been more.
Yeah, they'll be happy again, 3-0. It's sad to say for Celtic. I don't know what he does. I don't know if he looks at his bench. He tweaks one or two things.
Do you think he's got one eye on the weekend now? Thinking,
well,
I'm not going to get it now.
There's a problem here with that, and I totally understand it. But you're Celtic, you're away from home. If you have one eye on the weekend, come out, you could end up a real embarrassing result tonight.
Maybe one eye on the weekend, just from one or two areas. Dyson Maeda would have started tonight, wouldn't he, if this was a cup final? They've obviously tried to manage him, but I think this is more than the absence of Dyson Maeda when you look at the gulf between the sides on the night. We're about to get that whistle. So Celtic fans, call us right now. There you go. You've probably been watching the game, but I want to hear from you. Give us your halftime thoughts. How grim was that? Can it improve? Pick up the phone. 0141 951 1025. It's quite a sobering experience. You see Johnny Kenny, lots of praise at the weekend, not in the game tonight. Kasper Schmeichel, big saves at the weekend, conceded three tonight. Is this a reality check, Gordon, for anyone who was excited or carried away in the first two games of Martin O'Neill's era?
Yeah, it could be. I think the Celtic fans thought, right, okay, we don't need a new manager in just now. I'm not putting the blame at Martin O'Neill's door, but Celtic have got this in the locker. He came in, he gave them an initial encouragement. The Falkirk result was very good. The style of football was good. Great result against Rangers. And then you get into this game tonight with high hopes. But it's back to the basics again for him. He'll need to look at that tonight and think, right, okay, do I make substitutions here right away? Do I tweak one or two things? Because you touched on there, Johnny Kenny, I thought he was brilliant at the weekend. hardly seen him in the game. The back four, Ralston, who a lot of Celtic fans really praised for the semi-final, he's all over the place. They're losing cheap goals. This team are just running them riot. And as I say, they need to sort something out, or this has got to be painful tonight for them.
John is on the line. This cannot be enjoyable, John.
Believe it or not, Gordon, I left the house. It was nothing each. I was dropping my wife off at the wee boy's parents' night, so I stayed in the house. But I mean, but what I seen is,
what would Celtic's report card say after that, John?
Oh, what was my actual point was really? I tried going last earlier on. I don't know how Sinachi's not playing instead. Kieran Tierney 2025 is not the Kieran Tierney we had before, and it's. The guy said actually had a great game against Rangers, so I don't know what the problem is tonight. I know maybe he's been nursing an injury, but as Gordon and that said, it's a bit of a reality check, isn't it? I mean, Martin's done well, but as Dylan said as well, this is a good team, so it is. But
I think the Sarachi one is a bit of that. I remember being up at the training ground last week, so the semi-final was Sunday. Friday he didn't train after the Falkirk game, so he was, I'm not saying he was injured, but he was clearly being managed towards that game. That was quite a physical output on Sunday. I think he's in the Maeda camp. Maybe again, if this was a cup final tonight, Sarachi would have started.
I'd be surprised if that was not the case, Gordon, because you're right. Just now, and I totally agree with John, listen, I loved Kieran Tierney, brilliant footballer, still has, got still a lot to offer. But, you know, he looks off it for me since he's come back to Celtic. And I think everybody would agree with that. Look, you look at, he come on at the weekend, a brilliant ball in for Osman's third goal. But the Tierney years ago is not the Tierney we're seeing just now. And I totally agree. I think if it was that cup final, Sarachi would be in at left back, because I think he's the number one choice just now.
Yeah, totally agree. I was at the Falkirk game and I was really impressed with Sarachi up and down the pitch. Every time Terzic could get the ball, he was overlapping, underlapping for 90 minutes. Really impressed. Obviously on Sunday he was the same, so I'd imagine that they're just managing his minutes. But yeah, I agree with Gordon. It's Tierney's not the player that left for Arsenal. I don't know if it's the injuries have hampered them and just Mother Nature, but it's hard to see sometimes. I seen him at the weekend, he came on and he got the ball and he had about 40 yards in space with nobody near him, and he turned and went back, and I'm thinking Kieran Tierney's taking that space and passing it and getting overlaps and getting crossed into the ball and being really, really aggressive. So hopefully it's just a little spell that he can kind of get through and manage, and hopefully in mere minutes he builds up that player that we know he can be.
It might be part of a wider issue, but there's more than that going wrong tonight. Oh. And this is not because Celtic have tweaked the left back area.
No, and it's not because Maeda's not playing either, Gordon. Look, I thought they started okay. You're right. Nygren had a great, good effort at the edge of post. The box, sorry, should do better. Of course he should. But you just seen this game developing, and the home side, Michelin, just looked like they were a yard above Celtic, or a half yard, whatever you want to call it. They just looked better all over the park. And the minute they got the first goal, you've seen the confidence, and they've really ripped Celtic apart.
Has this got the potential to sort of blow apart all the Martin O'Neill optimism and excitement, John?
I think so. No, I mean, it's like, the same, it was great the last couple of games, but I wish I'd stayed in the house, but I mean, I didn't see the three goals.
Well, you'd rather not see them, surely. You'd rather not see them.
No, I know that. So we just stayed in the house. I mean, the better point about, I've been on here, Gordon, and Gordon, you know that. Maybe Dylan's not on when I've heard about this one about Narofsky, right? You think if Martin O'Neill is still in charge to the end of the season, Narofsky to me is Martin's kind of player, a big strong boy. When the team Martin had were all strong boys, and I think he would fit into Martin O'Neill's team. What do you think?
I mean, Gordon, I feel like, not to do down Mike Navrotsky, I've nothing against him, but I think he's played twice for Hanover since going there on loan. That he comes in and fixes.
Monday, nobody would have mentioned him.
Yeah.
Right, all of a sudden, half-time, 3-0. Right, who's the players that aren't playing? Oh, he would do a turn now. That's just football, that's what happens. When you're not in the squad, not playing, not even there, you become important.
Let's get the eyewitness account from Gabriel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European football coverage with The Drake, neighbourhood gastropub. Watch live sports in the West End of Glasgow.
Half time, and it's Midgetland 3, Celtic 0. The hosts have been really impressive here, and Celtic woeful at the back. Two goals in 2 minutes from Martin Elric and Michael Gorgota put them in control. Giuffrancolino's strike has taken the game away from Celtic. Martin O'Neill's side started brightly. Arne Engels having a shot on goal within 30 seconds, but the Danes quickly took control and looked very dangerous on the counter with their speed. Kasper Schmeichel, back in his homeland, had two huge saves early on to keep the score level, but he couldn't hold the fort forever. Elric Rosen headed in just after the half-hour mark to break the deadlock. Gorgota cut in from the left and curled in 60 seconds later, and then Schmeichel was totally rooted for the third goal. Unsighted, or maybe feeling there was an infringement, but the Danish international looked hapless. Celtic's only other chance was Benjamin Nygren when he blazed over from a free kick when he should have done better, but that's it. Martin O'Neill's honeymoon looks to be over here. The harsh reality of where Celtic are, bringing him and his team crashing back down to earth after the weekend. Midtjylland good for their lead here, and in all honesty, it could be much more. At the break, the hosts are leading 3-0.
Right, pretty difficult evening. Celtic fans, what have you made of it? Give us a call. Let me tell you about this first. £600,000 must be won tomorrow. Make sure you enter for £250 plus your standard network rate. You get 15 entries if you text YES to 61025, or for 100 entries, text BANK to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. The online entry and the rules for this network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. The clock is ticking. Lines close 5pm tomorrow. There is £600,000 on the line here. Text YES to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half time break for Celtic, and probably the only bit of the night you fans will have breathed easily, because it's 3-0 Midtjylland, going on more. Let's get the take of Kevin in Invergordon. Kevin, what has gone on there?
Oh, terrible the night. Terrible. So as I just, the defence was shocking the night. I'd just like to make a couple of points. My first point is about Martin O'Neill. I know the Celtic supporters are all raving about what they should take the job and give him an extension of it, because he beat Falkirk Rangers. Beating Falkirk at Parkhead, it's a Rangers team, a rubbish. I don't even think a Rangers player would get into the Celtic team, but yet they're raving to give him the job because he beats Falkirk Rangers.
This is what I've been kind of trying to get across, Gordon, to all the fans who've put that point in the other night. Not so much that I definitely disagreed last night or in the last couple of games, but this was the possibility. You can't say on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Martin O'Neill's the man for the job, get him at the end of the season. Midtjylland 5, Celtic 0. Oh, we can't. No, he's no use. You need Celtic's managerial recruitment process has to be bigger than that. It can't be influenced by a bad 90 minutes against Midtjylland. So that was the point in the last few nights. How can you be so sure after two games?
Yeah, because there was a lot of things that added up. They beat Falkirk, they beat Rangers, got to a cup final.
No, but it's still two games.
Yeah, it's Martin O'Neill. He's a hero at Celtic. Get him in. He's the guy that will lead us forward. You see tonight, all the bad habits are back. The defending, I know what Kevin's saying there, but I think it's more than defending. I think midfield, non-existent. Front men are offering absolute nothing. To be fair, can't go up the park. So it's a full team performance for me tonight. You're right, Gordon. Look, Martin O'Neill isn't the answer going forward. Martin O'Neill knows that as well. He's there to steady the ship until Celtic do their business, get the right man in, get him working with the Celtic team. Because like Rangers, they've a lot of work still to be done there. Never mind they're in the cup final, never mind they beat Falkirk, there's still a lot of work to be done. The proof is there tonight.
Were you always unsure about Martin O'Neill going forward, Kevin, or are you basing this on that 45 minutes?
No, I was unsure. I tried to phone the other night and make the point as well. But I don't know. It's just, you can't see it like beating Falkirk Rangers and then giving him it, because it's no the answer. Definitely no.
I mean, Gordon, not only, right, it's grown arms and legs in the last few nights, and I'm not just talking about on here, I think social media and all the rest of it as well. We've had, I think there was a legitimate conversation around, do you keep him to the cup final? He's got you to the cup final, and it's in 6 weeks' time. that conversation very quickly moved on to should Martin Neil get it till the end of the season. And then genuinely we had a good few calls saying, as in appoint him, like sort of permanently. And now 3-0 down at half time. So they're not 3-0 down at half time. This is not Martin O'Neill's fault.
No.
But maybe this has just reminded everybody, oh, actually, the squad isn't suddenly in a good place just because Brendan Rodgers is gone. It wasn't all Brendan Rodgers that was holding this team back. This is a team that is not equipped for this level of competition.
See, for me, Martin O'Neill's role is quite simple for me. Steady the ship, keep the fans on side just now, which he's doing because they love him, and rightly so. I know it's a sore one tonight. And Celtic to get someone in. Martin O'Neill's not going to be going forward with Celtic. They've got to look at, because they've a lot of work
but
to be
done. That's the thing, how steady can a ship be if this ends up tonight?
But they're better with Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney in just now, because you look at the Rangers situation, look at Celtic just now. Guys like it's in the frame. Now, I don't know if Celtic went and spoken to him. Craig Bellamy, I've ruled myself out. There's people out there. It's not easy now for the big clubs like Celtic and Rangers just to go, do you know what? We want that as a manager. We want him. And you come. Ain't happening. Rangers soon found out about that. Celtic have already had one or two that sort of distanced themselves. The only thing I would say about Martin just now is he's brilliant round about the club. He's great for the fans. He's great for everything. It's a sore one tonight. Of course it is. But he's only there until someone comes in and takes the place and gives the Celtic board the chance to get the guy in.
How worrying is this performance, Kevin?
Well, it's just, it brings you back down to earth. But, I don't know, just the way that, like, the Rangers game, obviously, they're all everybody raving. But like, Callum McGregor could have took that Celtic team and picked a team to beat Rangers. Do you know what I mean? I just don't think they're saying Martin O'Neill, that is how we beat Rangers, because of Martin O'Neill. They gave him a bit of a buzz, but like, Rangers are a bad lot as well. I know Celtic are in a poor running now, but I don't know. The Celtic thing, it's always a die-hard, no, this is like making it even worse.
No, to be fair, I think you've got to give Martin O'Neill. He tweaked one or two, whether it's him and Sean Maloney together or whatever, but they did tweak a wee bit of the style of play. They got the ball forward a little bit more. They got a little bit more out of energy, like guys like Maeda, and they had a bit more pace to the team and stuff like that. Look, there's still a lot to be done, of course, sir, and I totally agree there. But give Martin O'Neill a little bit of credit. He came in and he lifted the place when it needed lifted.
I feel like I've seen this before, and I'll need to do the research, Dylan. I'm sort of going on a hunch here. I don't have anything to back up. It feels like we've seen this from Celtic before in Europe, where it's one thing getting beat or whatever, but it unravels quickly.
Yeah.
You know, you go to a tough place. They are top of the Europa League and they're decent, and after half an hour, the game's at least acceptable. But those quick-fire doubles they seem to concede. Somebody go and count me the number of quick-fire doubles. I don't know if I've made that up. Do you recognise that?
Yeah. I feel like we've seen it before. Obviously, the good, 20-odd minutes. And then once the first goal goes in, it unravels quickly. And a couple of soft goals, you see it hanging up at the back post, and there's a few boys lining up to head it. But yeah, as we said before about Martin O'Neill, he's openly said that it's obviously not a long-term thing. He's just coming in to steady the ship, which I think he's done and gave everyone a lift. Even when I went Wednesday night last week, I felt like a 10-year-old watching that again. Martin O'Neill on the touchline with his tracksuit on. So
Copas.
Yeah, that was great to see. But yeah, it's not a long term thing, and a club like Celtic, they need to be looking long term futures, the club and stuff. But he's done his job. Obviously, this is a sore one so far, but I think coming in, especially concentrating in the league, getting results and keeping the pressure on Hearts, that's probably what he was asked to do.
Okay, thank you very much. For those calls, keep them coming. 01419511025. Celtic have made a couple of changes at the break. Dyson Maeda on for James Forrest, Callum Osmond on for Johnny Kenny. It's kind of in its infancy. It's still Mitchell and pressing at the start of the second half, and maybe a chance in behind here for Tanetke, but nah, he's well covered. Interesting team news from Ibrox. Let's speak to Tom Grant, who has the answers.
Yeah, thanks, Gordon. I said earlier, I think Danny Rule is going to be one of those managers you can't predict his team. Four changes to Sunday's defeat to Celtic. Out go Derek Cornelius, Danilo, Thilo Asgard, and of course, sent off on Sunday, and Mohamed Diomande. In come Jeddy Kasama, Conor Barron, Mikey Moore, and as predicted by me, Max Ahrens. It might surprise some that Nasser Djiga retains his place after his torrid afternoon at Hampden. But the full 11 is Jack Mullen in goal. It looks like a back three of James Tavernier, John Suter and Nasser Djiga, Max Ahrens, Conor Barron, Nicol Raskin, Jaden Magoma in the middle, Mikey Moore and Jedi Gassama playing behind Yusuf Chermiti. For Roma, as I said, Artem Dovbik leads the line, and Kostas Tsimikas plays as well. Two players who have actually scored against Scotland recently in big internationals.
Interesting, Gordon, because changes and one or two that you might have predicted, but I think, you know, if people were looking for someone to drop out, you might have looked at Djiga, he's stayed in. You might have looked at Chermiti, he's stayed in. But instead, Cornelius, Asgard, amongst the ones that paid the price.
Yeah, once again, it looks like he is going to stick to his back three, Gordon. Tavernier in at right centre half. I don't know what he sees in Djiga. I really don't at this moment in time. I think a lot of Rangers fans will sort of be looking at that decision tonight. I like the fact that Moore and Kusama is in. I think they give them a bit of spark and they can carry the ball. They're good players. They can create. Chermiti, for me, is absolutely baffling. I hope the lad goes and proves me wrong. I hope he'll, you know, there's nothing worse. I've been in the position myself as a footballer and you're not playing well and you hear pundits and other people giving you a lot of criticism. It's not nice, but...
You were a good goal scorer, but you never sold for $8 million, so you don't have to worry
about that. No, exactly. But I look at this boy and he's just come under criticism after criticism. He's nothing really to back it up that he's going to be an $8 million player. Maybe a couple of goals tonight, maybe, but I'm baffled with the situation that he's playing.
Gordon DL opens the door for Chermiti to get a couple against Roma tonight. You never know. Rangers fans, what do you make of that team? Are you happy with the changes? Is that what you would have done? Is there anything you disagree with? Pick up the phone right now and let us know, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You hear the big news this week? All the tables are turning. Roger Hanna, battered on Monday, and finally, last night.
Who done?
Sid.
He won.
Simon Donnelly. Five defeats on the bounce, and he eventually got a victory. And by the way, started terribly. He was zero out the first three. He was trailing by a couple, and then he finished strongly towards the end. He even gave me one of the worst answers of the season.
Go on.
There was a couple that were like firework themed questions because of 5th of November. And, the question was true or false, Catherine Wheel plays for Aberdeen Women, and he said true. Needless to say,
to be fair, I don't think have you played yet?
No, not yet.
Still not.
Really? Oh, he's not a
debut. Tonight can he's be the panicking. Night. Give us your calls before 7 o'clock, and Beat the Pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Dylan McGeoch here on a big night of European action. It's not really getting any better, Celtic fans. It's fractionally better in that you're up the pitch for the first time in the second half, but still 3-0 to Midtjylland, and mostly the home team with the pressure after the restart as well. Dyson Maeda did just latch on to a long ball. I was going to say rounded the keeper, but he's about 45 yards out and it's over by the touchline. The keeper misses it, but it was very difficult to turn in to any real goal scoring chance, and it remains 3-0 to the host. They're taking off a couple of their goal scorers, which might mean they think the job is done, and it probably is. So is it damage limitation now for Celtic? Keep your calls coming. And of course, we're building up to kick off at Ibrox. 55 minutes to go. Rangers fans, how are you feeling? It's been a bit pessimistic on the phone so far. Maybe you think tonight is the night Danny Rule can kickstart something in Europe. We just gave you the team before the break. They're a very interesting team. James Tavernier into the back three. Jedi Gassama. He's in there. He's one of the ones that comes in. Nasser Djiga keeps his place despite a difficult afternoon at Hampden, as does Yusuf Chermiti. So get your calls in. Is that the team you would have picked? And we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Dylan McGeoch has never played before, and the unthinkable, Gordon DL's going for four wins in a row.
Wow.
You can't put many runs like that together.
I do put
a lot. No, because you're streaky
runs.
I would say you're quite up and down.
Oh, I'm streaky, but I'm in a good run.
You're the opposite of what's that Man United fan that he's grown? He's only cutting his hair when they win. Is it five in a row?
Five, yeah.
And his hair's now out till,
is he?
Because they keep getting like three wins, maybe tailing off. Wonder if we could start something like that.
Right, okay.
In like reverse.
A moustache.
So you're only allowed to get your next round of Botox once you win five in a row.
That's fine, because I'm not due it for another 6 months.
Right, okay, let's see. Oh, Celtic nearly conceding a fourth, but it drifts past the post. Harris is in Uddingston. How are you, Harris?
Yeah, I'm good, how are you?
Harris, Gordon DL's going to hate you, isn't he?
I just not get people in there.
John, Callum, Davey, Stevie, Brian, Andy, all in the back of the van.
You got a van there,
it's
Harris?
A seven-a-side team.
I don't know, I got for London.
Nah, hang up, Harris.
What do you mean? There are no rules against that.
It's ridiculous.
Both of us?
Aye.
No.
Right. It's ridiculous.
Why?
Because it's an unfair playing ground.
You're just making up phrases all weekend. Did you hear his one at the weekend? It's my favourite. Producer Jay clipped up and sent it to me. And do you know the worst of it is, I've worked with you so long, I know what you were trying to say. So he was working towards, there's another twist in the spanner tail in the, or a spanner in the works. He goes, there's another twist of the spanner coming here.
I've got one lingo in this show, mate.
Harris, all I ask, Harris, is that you just be the spokesman, right? Don't all shout out, that'll confuse me. I can't concentrate like that.
That's
fine. I really hope you get Gordon DL just to annoy him. So it'll be the blue side of the coin for Dylan McGeoch and the red side for Gordon DL. Oh, it's Dylan McGeoch's debut.
Go on, Harris, get all your boys to help you, son. Stop them in the bus, out the bus stop and get more on.
Do you know what's funny? I love it when it's against you, but now I'm thinking, it's quite harsh on Dylan for his first time.
For his first time. I'll help you, mate, don't worry.
No, you won't. Right, put your headphones on. We'll give Dylan something else to listen to. Harris and pals, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Right, top man, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Aberdeen are playing in which country tonight?
Cyprus.
What animal features on the Roma badge?
Elephant.
True or false, Michelin's Kevin and Babu made an appearance for Rangers?
No, false.
Which Premiership manager appeared on debate night last night?
David Martindale.
Lewis Palma's currently on loan from Celtic to which team?
Liga Warsaw.
Which Italian scored 32 league goals in 28 games for Rangers in 97-98?
Negri.
Okay. Right, Dylan, are you ready? Gordon Deal was listening into the competition there.
I can't look at him though because I know he's going to type it me off.
I've got to say they're easy.
You would have hated that though, because you could hear Harris's pals chipping in the background.
I think you'll beat them. They're hopeless. They're
not. Don't.
Hopeless.
Well, okay. Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Dylan, I know you've never played before, so you just answer. You can pass if you want and just try and move
through. How many
can
you pass?
As many as you want.
Just move through them as
quickly. How many
as
questions
you can.
We got?
10.
But don't make it like
many passes. Them all. No, don't do that. Right, you ready?
Yeah,
your 30 seconds starts now. Aberdeen playing in which country tonight?
Cyprus.
What animal features on the Roma badge?
Bear.
True or false, Michelin's Kevin and Babu made an appearance for Rangers?
False.
Which Premiership manager appeared on debate night last night?
David Martindale.
Lewis Palma's on loan from Celtic to which team?
Celta Vigo.
Which Italian scored 32 league goals in 28 games for Rangers in 97-98?
Negri.
Name any Scotland international that now manages a championship side in Scotland. Three, two, one.
I gotta get it.
Will kick yourself.
Look, he's standing in front of you.
That was so good from you. And that last question, I mean, seriously.
Do you know what I think? I thought you said the English championship.
No. Anyway, Harris,
you're staring at me as well.
How do you think you've done?
He's got.
How do you think you've done, Harris?
Aye, we've done all right, aye.
Yeah, it was
aye,
a
we,
good game.
Aye, the
it was
gang.
A good game. Aberdeen are playing in Cyprus tonight. You both got it, one all. Which animal features in the Roma badge?
Is it a tiger or a wolf or something?
Wolf. None of you got it. One all. True or false, Michelin's Kevin and Babu made an appearance for Rangers. False. He was part of the Newcastle Five who came on loan, but he was one of the ones who did not play. How many of them could you name, Gordon DL? There's a good teaser for you.
I could name probably
we'll
the
here
one
all night.
Played, yeah.
Which Premiership manager appeared on debate night last night? It was David Martindale. You both got it. So you get a round of applause. Or he had a nice wee take on the ticket prices at football and all that stuff. Three all. So you're just matching.
Good game.
I'm happy
you're
with three,
matching
to be
each
honest
other. Lewis Palmer was currently on loan from Celtic to which team? What did you say again, Harris?
Liga Warsaw.
Said it with such conviction it made me wonder, but my sheet says Lech Poznan. I'll trust the producers.
That was miles
they
off
two it. Flew in with Liga Warsaw.
Yeah.
Which Italian scored 32 league goals and 28 league games for Rangers in 97-98? It was Marco Negri. Brilliant. You both got it. So it's 4-0.
Wow.
Dylan, listen to this, wow. Right? They finished there, and to get your debut win on Beat the Pundit, name any Scotland international that now manages in the Championship. Scott Brown, Barry Robson, yeah. Mark Wilson.
Yeah.
There's a cardboard cut out of Mark Wilson right in front of you. However, I'll let you off because he's only got one cap. Scott Brown, you heard of him?
Yeah, I've played with him a few times.
Unbelievable.
Tiebreaker.
Well, it doesn't help when he's elbowing me every question, to be honest.
I'm encouraging you.
That is.
So I thought you said the English Championship.
By the way, 12 in a van can't beat a deputy. How bad are they?
Well, listen, I thought they were all right. Four's good.
Right, and see if they won a coin. Would they share it? What, and once a month?
You get the same ball and you stick it to the dash of the van.
Do you?
As a wee.
Come on, I want you to talk them away. I hate the gang ups. See the 12 in a minibus.
I'm so glad you said gang ups there. I was just really worried about what words you were going to follow gang with, if I'm being quite honest with you.
Never on a Thursday.
Right, Harris, here's what we'll do. I'll read the question. I'll get Dylan to write his answer down. You then give me your attempt quite quickly if you can, okay?
Yep.
Right. The tiebreaker is this. Since the 2000-2001 season, how many players over the age of 37 have scored in Scotland's top flight?
Oh,
since 2000-2001, how many players over the age of 37 have scored in Scotland's top flight? Dylan, write your answer down and show it to me, please. In 3, 2, 1. Okay, what are you going for, guys?
I'll go for 110.
Two unbelievable answers here.
I've heard the question.
Listen, right. Talk to me. Talk to me about extremes here, right? Because it's Dylan McGeoch has written down 3.
What he said, 2021.
And Harris and the guys have gone for 100. And what was it?
200.
No, 110.
110.
I might be the closest.
One of you is only 10 out.
13.
And it is Dylan McGeoch.
Yeah.
13. 100. Come on. Over
Go
the age
on.
Of 37 is a hard thing to do. Oh, Harris and crew, honestly, you did so well.
Unlucky lads, get yourself a coffee on the way up the road.
Well done, 100% regular.
100%.
Pick up some more passengers next week, guys.
Do you know what that's like? That's like driving.
I'm gonna need it.
That's like driving all the way from London and then the van breaks down in Uddingston Main Street, just outside Angels, at the lights, the train station.
That would be no bad.
Oh, you've made it so far and then at the last minute it goes wrong. Hard lines, Harris. Are you a Rangers fan, Harris?
Aye.
What are you expecting tonight? You rushed home in time for the game?
No, we'll not make it. We're going to watch it in the van, but I don't know.
You're driving. Just outed yourself on national radio.
Aye.
The rest of them will watch. You'll just keep an eye on it. You got high hopes for Rangers or not?
I'm going to say 2-1 anyway.
Right, okay. Well, listen, why not? You can throw any prediction in there at the moment. Listen, we'll let the guys get on and hit the road safely. They came so close to a memorable evening on Beat the Pundit. But well done.
Well done, debut win.
You happy with that?
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Really happy. 100%.
By the way, I was mocking you with 3.
I wasn't too far away, by the way.
I know. What was it, 13?
13. And don't ask me to name them. So don't
I would have went 12.
I thought the Marco Negri was a great shout. Surprised Harris scored it.
So who are you looking at for 37-year-olds that have scored? That's quite something. Weird to get a goal at that time.
Brian Graham.
Stephen Davis.
Maybe. Brian guys Graham. Like that.
Brian Graham's a good age, aren't he?
The Bukila who scored at Livy at the weekend is nearly 37. I know that is of no use. But what I mean he's about to turn. It's about like this week or something. Arfield and Graham this season.
Yeah.
Was Arfield 37 when he scored? No.
All of a sudden that 3 looks a real, real good answer.
Because it was his birthday the other day.
Did they say 110?
He did, I said, wouldn't have mattered. Right, okay. Anyway. Gordon, I don't know what sort of joy this brings the Celtic fans, but they've made it to the 70th minute and they've not conceded again. Is that about all they can do at this stage after how bad it was in the first half?
Look, I know that some people, you know, that listen to the statement, they'd sort of shake their head, but it's a case of going out and saying, don't concede in the second half. Try and even win the second half and give us something confidence.
Win the second half.
Exactly, Gordon. Because the game's well and truly away from them. So far, look, Michelin's come close a couple of times, but I think Celtic are doing actually okay. I think substitutions have helped them a little bit, get them up the park a little bit with Maeda and Osman's pace.
I'm not trying to be overly critical.
And they've made a lot of substitutions, let's be honest about it.
Did it change that much, though, the balance of the game?
Nah, not really. I think both are kind of, they know the game's done. They've made a lot of subs. Celtic are just damage control, really. But I think after tonight, they'll just draw a line under it, concentrate in the league. To be fair, the result like this might force the club to kind of maybe act a little bit sooner.
Because like Celtic are going to have designs, though, on... I know this is not a great Celtic team, Gordon, and I get all that, and I know there's been a big drop off, but loads of teams go through from this Europa League group. I've been talking about it in the context of Rangers. You can go through on sort of 10, certainly 11, 12 points. Celtic can't just give up in the Europa League after this. They surely have to find a way with this group of players. You know, they've already got that victory against Sturm Graz. They drew against Red. They're on 4 points. They've got 4 games left. They've got to still have designs on improving and trying to at least progress. Surely.
Yeah, well, if you can get up to 10 and give yourself a hope, then of course Celtic must be aiming to do that. Obviously, they're not going to take anything away from tonight. But they'll dust themselves down and go again. I think it's. I do think it's different.
Sorry, I honestly just came back to him. I'm still laughing at the thought that 110 37-year-olds have scored.
But I don't think the Masters. Is it the Masters he was thinking?
When is that? Is it tonight?
It's coming up soon, I think.
It's soon, the Masters.
Yeah, it's soon, because Cammy Bell, he's been training for it.
Anyway, right, let's go back to the phones. Colin is on. How are you, Colin?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
That's our pleasure. What made you call?
Basically, Kevin Thirlwell, before I give my thoughts on his recruitment, I'd like to say that Patrick Stewart and him, I do class him as honest men, right? Because Patrick Stewart has hired him on the basis that he's got a good reputation down south, by all accounts. But Kevin Thirlwell, to me, has basically looked at Rangers and thought, I've struck gold here. All I need to do is fill that team with players for the Championship and the Premier League, and they'll catwalk that league, no problem at all. In fact, I'll go one further, I'll bring fringe players for down there, and they'll catwalk that league. And he's patched up a team with a spinner, John Souter and Nico Raskin. And to me, John Souter's the worst defender we've ever had. That's my main defender, and Nico Raskin only turns up 5 times a year. And my biggest worry is that if Kevin Thirlwell, he's not going to get the sack, right? So if he doesn't try and do a rebuild in January, bringing in 5 or 6 players who are playing 30 to 40 games per season for their teams, good players, that means he's going to wait till the summer, and then it'll be like 2 years before we can get rid of him. And to me, this team at the moment, they're just a team of projects. And they've been added to a team that was 17 points behind the league last year. It's an absolute disgrace. Now, I do believe it's an honest mistake, but a catastrophic one that is deserving of the sack. But he's not getting the sack. So is he going to rebuild in January? And if he doesn't, should he be getting the summer? You know, and that's my biggest worry for Rangers. And we couldn't give him another summer.
You've made a really kind of interesting wider point. There's no way John Souter's the worst defender you've ever had, Colin.
No, for me, I'm talking about, though, our mainstay defender, somebody that's classed as our top defender. I'm not talking about Giga and all the rest of it. I'm talking about Richard Goff, Colin Henry, you know, players like that, Terry Butcher. He's nowhere near.
Do you remember
he
Big Moshney?
He's all the time as well.
No, listen, I accept he's not as good as Richard Goff, maybe, right? But anyway, like that was more of a side point. It felt like a big statement that I wanted to latch on to. Rangers recruitment overall. The thing is, this has been put to Kevin Thirlwell. He's been asked a couple of times, why have you leaned so much into the English market? Because there's a couple of things. I think there is a perception, it might be unfair, and it doesn't apply to everyone, a perception that players from there think it's easier up here than it is. And also, traditionally, there's no value. You sign... I know we're singling out examples that are like really, really extreme, but see the wage that Celtic had to pay initially to get Kyogo, Maeda, Hitati? It was tiny in comparison to what you would pay for, you know, somebody coming up from the English Championship. So no great value there. He said it was because, you know, they were just in, they had a big rebuild, it's a market that they knew, so naturally they would go there first, you know, and then maybe broaden their horizons thereafter. But Colin's not happy overall.
And I totally agree with him. And I don't think Colin will be the only Rangers fan with those thoughts. I think his recruitment's been dreadful. I'd look at Rangers squad, the 13, was it 13 round about that they brought in the summer, the amount of money that they've paid. You've got strikers there, two strikers, 10 plus million for two strikers that one can't even get a game now. One's, the jury is well and truly out on them, looks absolutely terrible for 8.5 million, whatever it may be. You look at the other players that he's brought in. Not for me, Kasama at times looks a wee bit of find, and then he finds himself the biggest game of the season, semi-final against Celtic at Hampden. He's on the bench.
Is there any shoots that this could recover slightly, Colin? Because look, I take Gordon's point. Kasama's now not starting massive games like that, but you can't say he's been a bad signing. In the last couple of weeks, people are saying that Mikey Moore looks like he could be better under Danny Rule. Who knows? Even Max Aarons, who looked like it was absolutely impossible, he's improved a bit. And when he's come on, he's looked a bit livelier. He starts the game tonight. Is there any chance that this picks up?
No, definitely not. Because, I mean, I looked into a lot of the players. You know, at first when they were coming up, I was really excited. But even the likes of Asgard, he played 17 games for Luton. But he's playing at Luton. He's coming off the bench most of that. It was the same with Rothwell. Your only player, really, that was playing like 36 games was Ant-Man, and you're allowed one player that isn't going to work out. But no, when you're bringing a load of projects to the club and try to win a league, these players aren't going to be able to do it. I mean, like, even though it's Ant-Man, right, he comes for, was it Go Ahead Eagles, he's coming to a club where every single touch of the ball is pressure, you know. Mm-hmm. And look at the projects as well, how can they be expected to win the league? You know, I'm not one of these guys that's going to hurl abuse at the players, because I can see exactly what's wrong. They just don't get it, and there's no... Put it this way, see if you put them into a team or into a squad where you had players that were playing 30 and 40 games per year who were half-decent, a lot of players like Asgard and all the rest of them then start to think, oh, he's got a future, you know, he looks no bad, we can mould them into what we want, but you're asking them to go out and compete for the league in Roma the night. Mm-hmm. It's unacceptable to me. The only way out for Thelwell is for him to put his hands up, go to Kavanagh and say, listen, I need 7-8 players who are seasoned pros. They could be the age of 21 to 27 kind of thing, but I need them. And I'm worried he's going to start wheeling out guys in their 30s like Aaron Ramsey and things like that.
Do you not think it'll improve? Do you not think it'll improve when his son starts signing the players?
I don't know, because I don't know any of
them. Tongue-in-cheek after the reaction. I mean, Gordon, Some of the ultimately you're only judged on what happens when they get there, right? That's the point. You're supposed to be able to, that's the whole point about analytics. You're meant to, and recruitment, you're meant to try and basically predict how they're going to do. I don't know if Antman though is a bit different, because he wasn't signed from this, you know, risky financial market in England. I think he had the most assists penalty Celtic. No,
was it?
Yeah, I think it is. He had the most assists in the Eredivisie. And he wasn't signed from England as well. So I think that one is maybe, it's not in the same bracket as the others, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, listen, it doesn't matter where you come from. I think that, I do agree with you. I think a lot of players come up from England and think our league is a walk in the park. And it's been proven before. And they find out very quickly it's not as easy as what they make out. There's no guarantees. And I think Colin's right. Mm-hmm. Every touch at Ibrox, you get scrutinised. Yep.
Is this penalty going to stand?
Yeah.
Is that secondary touch? Because the only thing I've noticed, right, is, do you know what, and this does my head in, I know, by the way, we criticise our refs and they deserve it at times. See this thing in England they seem to do where if you get any touch on the ball, they don't give it. What was the game we watched it in here? Man United Brighton, was it? Remember, we watched it and the guy gets like, you can barely even see the ball move, but as long as they get a touch on the ball.
Yeah.
You can pull-axe somebody. Anyway, because the Michelin defender nicks the ball initially, but then it bobbles into Osman's path and he's running onto it and there's a kind of secondary touch. So I always think it's kind of comes down to, you know, different leagues and different refs interpret things a bit differently. That looks a penalty, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, who hits the penalty? Zingles is off, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Maida's missed in the shootout.
No, you're not.
Callum McGregor. I mean, surely that second kick on Osman's is a penalty.
Zingles, maybe? Yeah.
He's away off now.
Bernardo, off? Yeah, just it's Bernardo.
Yeah. Bernardo actually does really well to win it back. Celtic have looked a bit sharper in the last five. That second
what
kick's
checking?
Got to be a penalty.
I don't know.
He kicks him in the knee.
Yeah, it should be. Shiva, I think it's
a penalty.
See, if I was young Osmond there, I'd have grabbed the ball.
I think he did.
I think he tried.
Yeah, he took it. The keeper was holding it off him. Yeah, but
yeah,
I'd but Callum just... McGregor might have hit it, because I know he missed the Scottish Cup, but he stuck it away well in the yeah. The more recent one, didn't he?
What did I tell you about? I made that up. The tactics win the second half, gives you a bit of confidence.
Peace.
Well,
doesn't it get you 3 points? Does it?
Might not score this.
But they might.
Need to wait and see. Real Tatis had a tough season as well. I think you would have to concede. He's going to step up right footed. It's not a lot gone right for Celtic tonight. And band of fans over in the corner would give them something to cheer at least before they make their journey home. Real Hatate just steps up with the right foot and scores. Ooh. Michelin 3, Celtic 1. We'll be back for the closing stages and final build up to Ibrox when we return.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Dylan McGeoch are here. It's 0141 951 1025. 5 minutes left in Denmark and half an hour to go until kickoff at Ibrox. So let's do it all. Give us your up to date, real time opinions on this one, Celtic fans. If you'd rather wait until full time, it's only 5 minutes away, so give us a call anyway. And with half an hour to go, Rangers fans, I don't know, sometimes match night you get that wee buzz of excitement, a wee bit of optimism comes in from nowhere. Anybody getting that yet? No? Okay, well,
do you know who's got a wee bit of excitement? We've got to mention it.
Who?
Your Shug.
What's up, man?
It's Lady Keevan's birthday.
Oh, is it? It?
Yes, we wish
happy birthday.
Yeah, very. But the brilliance, right, only Shug. I'm on the phone to him, he's down at his daughter's, they're cutting the cake. They don't have, obviously, TNT. So what's Shug done?
Coming in here to watch it?
No, he's brought his wee bottle of wine, tranny, and he's
in the kitchen.
And Lady Keevans is having a lovely birthday.
He usually comes down here.
Never misses a trick.
See, if there's a game, if there's a channel he's not got, he brings the grandkids and everything. Sticks him into that back room.
Is it a crash?
He's sitting at his wife's birthday with a tranny and a bottle of red.
Do you know one of my favourites, though, is... Because there is like just a little back room. It kind of used to get used for meetings and stuff. It's got a telly on it. Sometimes if we'll go in for the sleep. Weekend, very rarely watch a game. Do you ever remember Colin Hendry did a few shows
yes.
at the Euros?
Yeah.
And I think he'd quite far to travel. I'm sure he came up really, really early and just sat in there and watched like Holmes Under the Hammer or something like that before the show. I remember trying to find him and he was sitting in there just watching like daytime TV.
This looks like a bad injury.
Yeah, who is that? Is that Osmond?
Yeah.
Oh my
goodness.
I think
he's done his hammy.
Oh yeah!
Oh
yeah,
my yeah. goodness, it's he has. It never yeah. rains, but it pours for Celtic in the striking department. Oh, Callum yeah. Osmond comes on at the weekend, scores, parachuted into the Europa League squad. He has his head in his hands. His hamstring is gone. By the looks of it, he is devastated. It looks like a bad one for Callum Osmond at a time when Kelechi Iheanacho is already injured. They probably didn't have suitable number of strikers anyway. Gordon, Celtic are doing a lot wrong themselves. They are loads wrong, but there's also like a lot of kind of things that are going against them that you just wonder if it's one of those seasons where everything's unravelling.
Yeah, listen, I'm feeling for a lad. He looks like he's in real agony. He looks in tears. He knows exactly, because we've all been there as players. Yeah. You know, the minute it goes, you're thinking that's me for 6-8 weeks easily.
It's more than that, Gordon.
Yeah,
Kieran Tierney. I can see him in the background shaking his head. Actually, reminded me a bit. Remember the Euros?
Yeah,
that happened to Kieran Tierney.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's as bad.
Stretcher
as that,
coming
that
on for a lad. You don't want to see that, especially he's not been anywhere seen at all in Celtic squad or on the pitch. He comes on a cup final, gets his goal. He must feel in cloud nine. He feels brilliant. Gets on tonight
into the Europa League squad.
And all of a sudden you think this is my big opportunity. And unfortunately for a boy, that's him for...
I'm always careful. I always try and tread a fine line, Dylan. We're no physios. We're hundreds of miles away. And sometimes they seem worse than they are, and then in the days that come. But if we were going purely on this reaction, you know, you can tell me, but you get your grade one, grade two and all the rest of it. This is me after saying we weren't physios. that doesn't look good. He's in a lot of pain, and the stretcher's coming on. So quite often guys will get up and they'll walk off with a hamstring injury. He's stretchered off. He's got his head in his hands. That looks serious.
Yeah, it looks really serious. Obviously, I've had my fair share of injuries, so I can tell with the reaction and stuff, but yeah, it doesn't look good for him.
You a hamstring man?
I've had a hamstring, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had a repair last year, last December, actually, yeah. But to be fair, I managed to walk off the pitch. I knew I'd done it quite serious injury, but I managed to.
Oh, great! So Celtic fans, he's telling you it's worse than that. By the looks of Callum Osmond.
No, well, I hope not for the boy. Yeah. Obviously, he's overcome with emotion.
How long
and stuff
were you sidelined?
So I got an operation on it, and I was out for 12. It was 16 weeks. 4 months.
That's a real shame for Callum Osmond. Yeah. And like, it's going to be. I'm not trying to polish this Celtic performance because you can't really. Let's be honest. It was so bad in the first half, and they're going to lose the game almost certainly. But they had recovered a bit, Gordon. They'd scored the penalty. They had created a couple of chances. Of course, you can say Michelin foot off the gas, game one. But that's going to probably put an extra sour end to what was a relatively fine conclusion to a difficult night.
Yeah, look, it's never easy losing the way that Celtic have lost, but I thought second half, Martinelli would have looked and thought his substitutions did make a little bit of difference, bit of pace up top, got them up the park. Right after they went 3-1 down, they created not a bad chance, Gordon, but that's a bitter pill tonight.
Right, very quickly, I'll read the teaser. Right. We're late for it. You don't need to give me any answers. I'll just set it up and then bring in Ricky on the phone. Paul and Cambus Lang, with a nod to tonight's game at Ibrox, says, can you name six Italians to play for Rangers? Six Italians to play for Rangers. Give me one each, quickly.
Negri.
Yep. And
yeah. Cuccio. I can't get his name.
Gattuso.
Right, leave it there. Ricky is on the line. Take it away, Ricky.
Right. No many positives for the night game, especially for the second half of the boy Osmond. Mm-hmm. The only positive I could see is Martinelli, I would think, would go back to Dermot Desmond, and obviously through Dermot Desmond back to the board, and Martin would tell him how bad the squad is. Mm-hmm. And it needs vast investment.
Brendan Rodgers had been telling them that though, Ricky, and it didn't go too well.
Well, I think Martin's a wee bit closer to Dermot.
Yeah, and maybe it was the way it was done.
Martin, being the elder statesman, would have a wee bit more kind of knowledge and say, you know, I just think Martin's more believable, probably.
Yeah, look, Gordon, I think there's going to be a lot of wider conclusions drawn from this where, because in the last couple of games, we also heard along the lines of, it just shows you Brendan Rodgers was a big part of the problem here. Look at the difference Martin O'Neill's made. There's been no difference tonight. This has been particularly bad, certainly first half. I think that Ricky's trying to find the silver lining. Does Martin O'Neill now get the message across to the board that this is a bad squad?
Look, I think just now the board, obviously they've got to take a bit of the responsibility of what happened in the transfer market in the summer gone. Look, if you know Celtic and you're on the board, you're looking at a Celtic squad, you know it's not good enough. You don't need Martin O'Neill to come along and say, look, guys, we need about five or six players. Because Brendan Rodgers has been telling them for day one.
But I know he put it across in a particularly annoying manner for them and publicly and whatever, but do you think they do get that? Do you think they do?
Yeah,
because hold on. Dermot Desmond's statement essentially said that they didn't feel there was much wrong with the recruitment. They said that the club's failings, again I'm paraphrasing, were down to one self-serving individual.
They said there was enough, didn't they, to get through?
That statement put the blame very much at Brendan Rodgers' door.
Well, I think they got it wrong because obviously they weren't enough. They needed more players in certain positions. They admitted that they'd done their work too slowly. Look, I'm not saying that Brendan Rodgers was 100% right. I just think it was a mixed bag because I thought they looked at Brendan Rodgers, you've spent a lot of money, which he has done. Brendan Rodgers wanted more quality. They didn't know if Brendan Rodgers were going to commit to Celtic. Obviously, we see he didn't. So there was a sort of a standoff, and it's sort of a come back to bite Celtic at this moment in time. You've got to say, because the amount of players that now have lost through injuries, and the squad now is very, very weak indeed.
Because I know everything's immediate now, Dylan. This is not a Celtic thing. It's probably a modern society thing before we even get to football. But, you know, we do swing quite dramatically, because what we've heard after Falkirk and after Rangers is, this shows you this squad's actually not that bad. See if they've got a guy that can, you know, motivate them, get the best out of them. But nobody will wake up saying that tomorrow morning.
No, I agree. Obviously, it's very emotional, and the games that Celtic won the last week, everyone's excited and think they've got enough. But I think like tonight shows that this squad's went backwards. Last year, Celtic were competing in the Champions League at the top level. Now they're getting embarrassed, really, in the Europa League. So they have went backwards. Everyone can see it. I think the board obviously thought they had enough to make the Champions League this year, but tonight just proves that even if they got there, they would have got embarrassed, to be honest.
Full time for Aberdeen. And yeah, look, I know it's maybe standards have dropped, but I think that's a good point. 0-0 away in Cyprus. Again, I know Cyprus not a huge footballing nation, but they actually had a really good record so far, and they've had some big results. So I think that's not bad. I think fair enough, because they went away and got absolutely battered last time, Aberdeen.
Yeah, so they did. So you've got to take a little bit of confidence for that. They've got a clean sheet as well, Gordon. They've got a difficult game against Motherwell on Sunday, so there's something to build on there. But yeah, they did get an absolute doing, embarrassing. But to go away, I know that Cyprus, you're looking teams over there, you don't regard them as top teams, but 0-0, get a point, yep. Get home and see what happens.
Ricky, do you think tonight's defeat will accelerate managerial change or influence that procedure in any way?
No.
So what do you think will happen? Think so. How long does Martin O'Neill stay?
Well, I think they're looking for a boy for Bodo Glimt, and he can't come to December. If they're talking about the Australian, he's no the end of November. I think they'll go along with Martin to the January transfer window. If they get the boy for Bodo Glimt in for then they'll give him money. But if they're a geek, Rogers money, and Rogers didn't stay, the players would still be there. So we've had players in that could have done a lot for us in maybe the year that Rogers was going to leave. We could have had the players in there and learned how to play football in Scotland and the way Celtic play. But no, because Brendan wasn't signing a contract. We're not going to buy players. That's no fair on the ED. The punters are going there every week and pay their money.
I don't know if they didn't. They just looked at Brendan Rodgers, didn't trust him with the recruitment as well. I think there was a big fallout with everyone in there, weren't they? There were so many departments going in different roads, and they had to come together and work together to make Celtic the club and get the recruitment they wanted. I just think that the board offensively looked at it, and I know they were talking about, well, Brendan's not going to be here. I don't think they trust him. I think they gave up. You look at some of the signings that Brendan's brought in there and paid good money. They're not the answer. So I don't know if they looked and thought, do you know what, we're not going to give him any more. We'll wait to get a new manager in January and then take it from there.
But then that would still need an acknowledgement that the recruitment had. They did a bit. I think there was one line in one of the earlier statements acknowledging the recruitment hadn't been good enough. But it still feels like Brendan Rodgers leaving allowed a lot of the blame to then shift onto him.
Yeah, that's the easy way. But listen, they've still got numbers in the building. The problem they've got
in some
for
areas Celtic, they really don't know.
But they've not got enough quality.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but they've still got bodies. But they've not
everybody's got bodies.
Exactly.
And to be fair, do you know what? Like I said, seeing the number nine, they don't really have bodies now. But Callum Osmond, best case scenario, is out for weeks now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So you've got Johnny Kenny, or you're back to
Maeda.
Where does Dyson Maeda play, and then you move somebody else. So full time over in Denmark. Can we speak to Gabriel?
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European football coverage with the Drake Neighbourhood Gastropub. Watch live sport in the west end of Glasgow.
Yes, it's Midtjylland 3 Celtic 1. A poor night for Martin O'Neill and his men, blown away in the first half by their hosts with goals from Martin Elric, Mikel Gorgoza and Ju Francolino, taking the game away from them. Rea Hatate's late penalty was just a consolation. The Danes looked very dangerous from the off and quickly took control. Elric headed in just after the half hour mark to break the deadlock, and Gorgoza cut in from the left and curled in to double the advantage just 60 seconds later. Kasper Schmeichel, back in his homeland, was totally rooted for the third, with Francolino finishing from inside the box. Celtic had very few chances in the first half and they hardly created anything after the break, but at least they stopped the bleeding at the back. Substitute Callum Osmond continued his impressive start to life for the club by winning a penalty with 10 to play, and Hatate converted from the spot. But the young Englishman left the game in tears and on a stretcher a few minutes later. A real shame. Looks like a serious injury for him as the club's injury crisis only worsens. It's fair to say Martin O'Neill's honeymoon is over now, with Celtic lucky to escape at this scoreline. And the fans did not turn on the team or the manager once. They've just been over clapping the 1,000 supporters in the corner of the stadium. They were singing all game and mainly aiming their ire at the club's board once more. Celtic now have just 4 points after four games and face an uphill battle to qualify for the knockout stages, with the Danish side still top of the entire Europa League. Full time here at the MCH Arena, Midtjylland 3, Celtic 1.
What did you make of it? Let us know right now, call us and we'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141
951
1025 Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Midtjylland 3, Celtic 1. A poor night in Denmark and made even worse by Callum Osman's injury. Celtic fans, how do you look back on that? I can't imagine there was much cause for optimism, so let us know how bad it was and where it went wrong for you, and then the bigger picture, because it clearly does put a different complexion on the Martin O'Neill era, however long it's going to last, and where Celtic go from here and where the club finds itself overall, etc. So calls in. We are 10 minutes away from kickoff at Ibrox as well, so we could do a final build up there if you want to squeeze a call in. And very quickly, you two on the teaser, Paul and Canvas Lang's asking you to name six Italians who've played for Rangers. Gattuso, Negri,
Amoruso must be one.
Yep.
Right full back, is it Peroni, Perini?
It's not Peroni.
Perini?
Perini. Well,
Perini.
Okay.
I don't know. Come on. I'm struggling.
It's funny, you've done it. I would say you've done it in like kind of the exact order I expected, where the two remaining, one is doable but tough, and the other one's just horrendous. Like properly horrific.
How far back are we going?
Yeah, we're going back a bit. So remember, it's
the goalkeeper?
No,
I'm struggling now.
Okay, we can squeeze a call in if you want. You'll need to be quick, so whether you want to react in the game in Denmark or look ahead to the one at Ibrox, which kicks off in 10 minutes time, let's do that very quickly, because Gordon, that is a, in fact, hold on, here we go. Ian is through on the line. Ian, what did you make of that?
Gordon, good evening, mate. Long time no talkie. Is it Gordon Dale and
Dylan McGeoch?
Dylan McGeoch here, a blast from the past.
How we doing? You're talking like I'm about 40.
I know you're about 40 now. Same age as my daughter. Anyway, listen, Dylan, ex-Celtic player, Gordon Dale, I've met you numerous occasions. You knew me for Ibrox when I was a young boy, Gordon.
All right.
Plus, I met you in the Merns a few times when I was.
Ian, hurry up, we're 4 minutes left of the show. I don't.
Anyway, guys. Which it is, the back rooms, no, the ones that do the recruitment, Tisdale, Tosh McKinley, and let me ask you a question, Gordon, is David Pleat still there?
I don't think Tosh McKinley's in the recruitment department. Is Tosh McKinley not just like an ambassador?
No, he does. He goes and looks at players as well.
Are you sure? Gordon.
Hi, mate.
Well, listen, you might be right. I've never heard them get blamed for Celtic signings. Anyway.
I thought he'd just done Celtic TV.
So you're not happy with the signings, is what you're trying to tell us?
Listen, we've not.
Like who?
We've not replaced Kyogo.
Ah, right, okay, yep.
Right, we've not replaced Kyogo. We've not replaced Nicholas Coon. And Dylan, you'll agree with me with that one. And I certainly don't think we've replaced the boy who went to Marseille on loan, Matt O'Reilly. But I thought Engels was starting to come back on it again. We just get battered with a team here that was full of South Americans.
Do you know what? It's actually a really good comparison, Gordon, about the sort of structures and, you know, where Celtic are and whatever. I think I was reading earlier, I think Michelin's wage bill is about a third of Celtic's. You know, and that they're part of they're the kind of original Moneyball analytic type, you know. So I know everyone has got different levels of that and different ideas of it. But there was a time when we would blame money on Celtic's failings in Europe. It's got nothing to do with that. They dwarf Michelin's budget.
Yeah, it's just about quality. If you get the right quality, right recruitment, right, the right system, the right manager going forward, everybody singing off the same hint sheet, which is very important as a club from top to bottom, then you've got a chance of a lot of success. I totally agree with you, and I thought Michelin, especially first half tonight, blew Celtic away. It could have been a lot more. All credit to Celtic, made a couple of substitutions, won the second half, as I keep saying, but it was a very disappointing night for Celtic.
I think you were about to rant about Anthony Ralston as well, Ian, is that fair?
Yes, Gordon, a guy's a cart horse. Dylan, I don't know if you, did you play a few games with him years ago when he was coming through?
No, I never, KT was there. coming through.
He was coming through, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But anyway, Dylan, he's not a right back. I don't know what he is. I don't even think he's a football player.
That's harsh.
What I will say, and it's to two ex-players that's sitting with you, Gordon Duncan, the two players, where are these hamstring injuries coming from? I know it's happening, right? It's happening. So you've got a team of guys that's taking the training, that know they're looking after the injuries, etc., etc. But how is it just constantly happening? That young boy went off in a stretcher and he was crying.
Yeah, I think. See, just quickly though, to be fair, Ian, whilst he's been on, I've done a Google. I didn't know it. Tosh McKinley does have scouting responsibilities.
Thank you.
Clearly knows his stuff. I've got no problem.
David Pleaton,
I make mistakes minute by the minute on here. I've no problem holding my hands up. I just always see him with the suit on. I thought it was more of a statesman type
ambassadorial role.
So listen, I hold my hands. The only thing I've never heard them blamed for Celtic signings before. That was the point I was.
You wish tonight
getting at. Look, we're nearly out of time. But Anthony Ralston was the latest in Ian's crosshairs there.
The injuries as well, the hamstring. Ian, I think it's a lot to do with sports science and stuff now, and the physical output in these games now. Everything's obviously a lot faster and they're covering a lot more distance, so I would probably put it down to that.
Wow, out of time listening to that. Quickly on the teaser, you've got Amoruso, Gattuso, Negri, Perini. We need two more Italians.
They're a fullback, aren't they? Left back. Came 2003 just gone.
Stop it. Somebody's obviously told you that.
I swear to God.
So hold on, you don't know his name, but no, you know the year that he signed.
I don't know.
You know the exact year
because
that he signed.
Because I was the manager against Rangers.
Sure, okay. Paolo Vanoli.
No, I wouldn't have got that.
Luigi
Riccio. Oh, I've
not
got him.
What year was that? I only played 16 minutes in 1999. Right, quickly, Rangers Roma, give me your score prediction.
I'm going to go a Rangers 1. There you go. I'm going to go 2-1.
3-1 Roma.
Wow. Okay, we'll find out tomorrow. We will look back on it, and I suspect we'll have a bit of a Celtic post-mortem. That was not pretty in Denmark. So enjoy the rest of your Thursday if you can, and we'll speak to you tomorrow. I can just imagine the scene. It might be Lady Keevan's birthday, and happy birthday to you. But mister, he's rocking back and forward in his chair right now, sharpening his pencil for tomorrow. So we'll do it at 6. Enjoy the rest of your evening.